Let's join our voices together this morning and enjoy some good music together. Let all things now living praise God together. Let all things now living a song of thanksgiving to God the Creator triumphantly raise, who fashioned and made us, protected and stayed us, who still guides us on to the end of our days. God's banners are o'er us, His light goes before us, a pillar of fire shining forth in the night. Till shadows have vanished and darkness is banished, as forward we travel from light into light. His law He enforces, the stars in their courses, and sun in its orbit obediently shine. The hills and the mountains, the rivers and fountains, the deeps of the ocean proclaim Him divine. We too should be voicing our love and rejoicing with glad adoration. A song let us raise, till all things now living unite in thanksgiving to God in the highest, hosanna and praise. For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies. Lord of all, to Thee we raise this our grateful hymn of praise. For the wonder of each hour, of the day and of the night, hill and vale and tree and flower, sun and moon and stars of light. Lord of all, to Thee we raise this our grateful hymn of praise. Let's stand and sing the next two songs together. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank You, O my Father, for giving us Your Son and leaving Your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, oh, for sinners slain. Thank You, O my Father, for giving us Your Son and leaving Your Spirit
stand in glory, I shall see his face. There I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. And I praise his name. I praise his name. I praise his name. He's so good to me. For he answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me.
For those who are able, I would invite you to kneel as we come before our Father. Dear Holy God and Father in heaven, ruler of and creator of the universe, we are thankful, so thankful, loving Father, for all the wonderful things that you have done for us. You are such a kind and generous God, so full of grace and mercy. May we always remember that every good thing is from you. You have blessed us so much, and there are not enough words to express our love and gratitude for the awesome God that you are. Philippians 4:6 tells us that every request we make to you should be made with thanksgiving. Help us not just to be thankful because it is the Thanksgiving season, nor to just come to you asking for things. Lord, let us always remember to thank you and to give you praise. We claim your promise in Philippians 4:7, Father, that if we do this, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, even though we're experiencing trials and suffering. And Lord, regardless of what happens, Lord, we know that we can always choose to thank you for trusting each one of us with these experiences. We are assured that we will not be overcome, discouraged, or negative. We want Psalms 100 to be our guide. It says, he has made us, we are his people. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, for the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. And may Ephesians 5:20 be our motto, giving thanks always for all things. Precious Father, whatever is happening in our lives, even in the bad times, please make us thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
It's more than food. More than football.
Anyone thankful you don't have feathers? This is the season to be very thankful for that. Now I have to tell you, Thanksgiving is probably the one holiday in my life that I haven't liked that much. Is that a weird way to start a Thanksgiving celebration talk? It's true though. I mean, I like football. I like football, but I'm a 49ers fan. Anyone else here a 49ers fan? I heard a boo. I don't think we're allowed to boo in church. Especially not the 49ers. But being a 49ers fan, it is torture. It is torture for me every Thanksgiving season, every year, to listen to John Madden or some other announcer talk about how amazing the Cowboys are. That is torture. To hear them call the Cowboys America's team. I'm American. I don't like the Cowboys at all. Amens are okay, especially against the Cowboys. And the Lions, well, the Lions, they haven't been any fun to watch since Barry Sanders retired. I like food, but not more than any other day. It's weird because at Thanksgiving time, it seems like people get weird about food. You ever notice this? People get weird about food. I've seen turkeys made other times a year, but I've never seen my uncles or my dad or anybody look at a turkey any other time of year and go, oh, what a beautiful bird. This looks so amazing. I never see people pull food out of the refrigerator and go, oh, this is so amazing. But people on Thanksgiving get weird about food. They get weird about what they're going to eat. It doesn't matter, though, anyways, because I'm a vegetarian. So while many people are standing around the bird, ooing and aahing, getting weird about it, I'm eating what I always eat, the same old, same old. In fact, I told my wife this year that, you know, I wanted to this year celebrate food the way everyone else celebrates food. And so I told Christina that I wanted a stack of French toast this year for Thanksgiving. Doesn't that sound good? French toast? A lot better than a turkey. I'm a vegetarian, so you have to forgive me on this. A stack of French toast. And she said, okay, for breakfast. And I said, no, for dinner. I want it at the meal. When everyone's getting the turkey, I want the French toast. She gave me a look, some of the looks I'm seeing on your faces, which indicates to me I am not getting my French toast this year. I guess that's a tradition for another year. I'm a guy, but I'll admit it, I like shopping, but can you imagine? But to me, it's insane. It doesn't matter how much you enjoy shopping. I can't imagine people going out the day after Thanksgiving to shop. It is insane. You are taking your life into your own hands when you do that. It's called Black Tuesday, and they've tried to make this a nice little spin on it. They've tried to put a nice little spin on this whole Black Tuesday thing and say, oh, it means that the economy is in the black and we're coming out of the red. But people, it started in Philadelphia, and it was labeled Black Friday in remembrance of Black Tuesday, 1929, one of the worst days in American history, one of the most stressful days in American history. They named a shopping day after Black Tuesday. Why would you ever go out on that day? I have this year, you look on the TV, on the TV screen, or read in the papers after Thanksgiving, you will see accounts of people getting in physical fights, fist fights over products. I see stories every year of people fighting while they're shopping. Why would you go out on these days? And I like family, but I won't say anything about that because my family's here. But at least I can be thankful I don't have feathers, as the video clip said. And the video is a joke that we saw, but probably there is some reality to it. Probably many of us enter into Thanksgiving just thinking about the vacation, maybe just thinking about the football or just thinking about the food. There's many of us that enter into Thanksgiving with just that mindset. And if that is our only focus on that day, it is no wonder that Thanksgiving can become a stress, can become rough, can become mundane even. You see, as a Christian, I believe that when we take God out of the thanks that we are giving, When we forget to fully acknowledge God in the midst of it all, we lose the value. We lose the value of what we're doing, even on Thanksgiving. Because everything we do, in everything we do, I believe as a Christian, we are to give thanksgiving to God. If you want to turn, if you have your Bibles, and you want to turn in your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's a pew Bible in front of you, a Bible in the pew rack in front of you. And you can turn to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. It's page 889, I believe. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. And it says, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In all the words we speak, in all the actions we perform in our daily lives, all these things are to be done giving thanks to God. Giving thanks to the Lord. Thanksgiving. Of course things will become insignificant if all we're worried about is the football game. Of course things will become insignificant if all we worry about is the food or the shopping or even the family without giving thanks to God. Without truly celebrating God in it all. But as Dr. Urbina said in his prayer, Thanksgiving is not just about the holidays though. It should be a consistent everyday action of our life. It should be a way of life for us. We should live in a constant state of thanksgiving. Remember the text, whatever you do in word or in action, do it giving thanks to God. Do it giving thanks to God. Whatever you do, do it giving thanks to God. If we began to live our lives in this way, our lives would be changed. Our lives, we would see revolutionary things happen in our lives if we lived out this mindset of giving thanks to God in every single thing that we do. Living this way will revolutionize your life. The other morning, I was holding my son, and he's just now 7 weeks old. We just had a baby boy. And I went downstairs. Christina was still sleeping. I went downstairs, and I had him, and he was awake, and he was looking at me, and I was reading through the Psalms. Reading psalms for my worship and stuff, and I was reading them out loud to him, and even though I'm reading the psalms, I'm reading them in this, you know, this little kid voice, like, "And the Lord said," you know. And as I'm doing it, Dayton looks up at me. That's my son's name, Dayton. He looks up at me, and he begins to smile. He begins to look at me and smile. Now, he's been smiling some in his sleep and here and there, but I've never really thought, like, okay, he's actually smiling at me. But just the other day, I looked in his face, and I'm reading the Psalms, and he's smiling at me. And so I become more animated. I'm like, "And the Lord is," and he's smiling more. And I'm reading, you know, "And David cried out to the Lord in sorrow." But I'm like, "And David cried out to the Lord in sorrow." And he just, like, gets this huge grin. And I just look at that smile, and I begin to thank the Lord. "Lord, thank you so much for this gift for my son. And thank you for that smile. You created this child for me," also my wife, "for my wife." And you created that smile right there in that moment. You created smiles for us to make us happy. And I'm just thanking the Lord. And the more I'm thanking the Lord, the more I'm praising the Lord, the more excited I'm getting, and the more I'm reading. And he's just smiling at me. And I told Christina about this afterwards, did I not? I was so excited. But the thankfulness was, as I thanked the Lord for it, not just like, "Oh, look, he's smiling. That's so cute. That's so nice." But as I thank the Lord, as I recognize the giver of that smile, something inside of me began to just well up, and it began to just give a whole new level of meaning to it. Now you may say, "Well, of course, that's easy. I mean, that's your son. That's your son. That would make sense that you're so excited." But if we live a life of giving thanks, even the mundane things can become revolutionary. Even the mundane task will be revolutionized if we live a life of giving thanks to God. If we live a life of giving thanks to God. I went to get my hair cut the other day. I didn't know the person who was cutting my hair. I just stopped in at some place, and I'm still looking for a hairdresser, although I think I found one now. But I'm walking in, and as we're doing our little chit-chat thing, I had a tie on. I was getting ready to go to a meeting, and so I said, "Can I take the tie off so I don't get, you know, any hair on it?" She said, "Yeah, it's fine. You can hang it up over here." And she said, "What do you do?" I said, I'm a pastor. We began to have this conversation about ministry, and she began to ask me all these questions about spiritual things, and I find out that she did her undergraduate work in youth ministry at Azusa Pacific, and we're talking about this whole experience, and she's asking me about my beliefs, and not just asking me about my beliefs, but when I tell her what I believe, she says, okay, tell me about where in Scripture. So she's challenging, you know, and we're having this awesome discussion, and I'm getting so excited. I'm just thanking the Lord. Thank you for, like, this conversation. And she's just doing the little preliminary trimming up on the hair, and then she pauses, and she said, now, what do you want me to do with your hair? I was like, I don't care. I really didn't. I did not care in that moment. I was so busy, like, thanking God for having me stop. I was driving to a meeting. I thought, well, I have time. I saw this place on the side of the road. I'm going to stop, and I'm going to get my hair cut there. Just pulled in. I pull in. We begin to have this awesome conversation. I'm thinking, God, this is so from you, and I begin to thank God for this, and I'm loving getting this haircut, and I don't care what she's doing. I could have walked out of there bald, and I would have still been excited. Because when we live a life of thanksgiving, it begins to revolutionize every aspect of our lives. I went into the insurance guy not too long ago to pay a bill. I thought I was all hooked up on the online thing and that they would let me know when online I had a bill due. And, you know, they were only covering my car thing but not my home insurance online. And so I was all confused and I wasn't really understanding what was going on. I get this bill that says, you know, if you don't pay, you're going to be in trouble, right? Whatever they say to you. So I go in, I'm going to this guy to pay my bill, and I walk in there. And as I go in, we begin to have a conversation. I feel impressed that I should invite him to our church. So I invite him to our church. And he gets so excited about it, his response is so happy about it, that I'm thinking, this is awesome. And as I walk out of there, I'm saying, thank you, Lord, that I had to pay that extra money for that bill and that I had to go in and see. I'm thanking the Lord for a late fee. How many have thanked the Lord for late fees? It's not something we do, but really I was happy about it. I mean, this is so awesome. What a blessing. When we live a life of thanksgiving to the Lord, our lives will be revolutionized. They'll be changed for the good. That's what God tells us to do. In everything, in word and in deed, give thanksgiving to God. Give thanksgiving to God. Now you could say, well, you know, the things you mentioned, even the paying the bill isn't that bad. It was a good thing. But, you know, sometimes life is really rough. And how do we live in thanksgiving? Are we to live in thanksgiving even then? The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Page 901 in the Pew Bibles. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. See, living a life of thanksgiving doesn't mean that you won't still have some bad days. It doesn't mean that there won't still be days that are rough and that bad things will just cease to happen. But even though in those moments, if we are able to give thanks, we will find new fortitude, new strength to go on. If we live our lives in thanksgiving, even in the rough moments, we will see our life beginning being revolutionized for God, being changed for the good. You know, that's really the inspiring story and the testimony of the first Thanksgiving service. You know, in society, we painted the Thanksgiving story as this picture of pilgrims and Native Americans sitting around a table with tons of food, and the pilgrims have on their nice, clean outfits with their little top hat thingy-majiggers on, you know, and they look really healthy, and their skin's nice, and they're smiling, and they're so happy, and this is the picture we painted of that first Thanksgiving. And we've kind of created this idea of Thanksgiving as this season of abundance, abundant food, abundant family, abundant football, abundant laughs, abundant naps after all the abundant food, abundant everything. We've kind of created this idea of this. But the first Thanksgiving celebration, as the pilgrims knew, it wasn't a season necessarily of abundance. It occurred in 1621. And there was an abundant family. Many of them had left much of their family in Europe. Many of them had left much of their family in Europe. And those that were still together were more then likely not mourning. Mourning. You see, almost 50% of those who had come over had died. Of the 102 original settlers that we know of celebrating that first Thanksgiving in Plymouth in 1621, 102 of the 102, only 53 remained alive. Only 53 were still living for that first Thanksgiving. Of the adult women that had made the trip, only four moms, only four mothers remained alive. It wasn't a season of abundance. There wasn't necessarily abundant food. Late November in Massachusetts, not an easy time to grow things. There were not abundant laughs. In fact, the accounts of the early pilgrims were that themselves, they state that it was a solemn ceremony. A solemn ceremony. There was not an abundance of football because they had, of course, no football. But what there was an abundance of is thanksgiving to God. These people understood that in all circumstances, they were to give thanks to God. Even their own accounts say, "We spent the full day in prayer and worship and thanks for the good fortune God had given us." The good fortune. Half of them dead. Cold, alone, away from the familiar, praising and thanking God for the good fortune that He had given them. Here were people that understood what it was like to give thanks to God in all circumstances. And this thankful living not only changed their lives, but it directed the course of our history as a nation. They went on. They continued to progress. They continued to move forward. They went from that humble, solemn, sad, lack of abundance, thanksgiving to what we have now. But it all started with recognizing and thanking God. They lived lives of thankfulness to God. I want to challenge you all, whether in good times or bad, live a life of thanksgiving. This will revolutionize your life. I don't know, maybe this is the way you've been living, but if it is not the way you have been living your life, I want this season to be the season that you begin to live, not just for the season, but for every day, to live in thanksgiving to God. To daily set your mind on what you can be thankful for. And as you do this, as you live this life of thanksgiving, I will promise you that God will bless you and that you will see your life revolutionized for Him. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank You. We thank You for drawing us to You, for calling us to live a life of thanksgiving. And Lord, may we live that life with a grateful heart to You, O Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen. Will you please stand as we sing our closing song, Give Thanks.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done. grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks.
And Lord, we do give thanks to You for all that You have done for us. We give thanks with grateful hearts for Jesus Christ, Your Son, who lived His life on this earth and died for us so that we may have life eternal, and so that we do have a reason to live with thanksgiving because of Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, in Your name. Amen.